Friend, I'm so excited to be bringing you part two of our sermon series entitled Lifetime, Trusting God Through the Navigation of Life. This message is one that I hope would encourage you to look at love and look at life from a different perspective. It is called Being Persuaded by Counterfeit Love. Here's the word. I hope you enjoy today's message. God bless. Part two of our sermon series, titled Lifetime, Trusting God Through the Navigation of Life. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, we're going to begin at verse number 4. Judges chapter 16, beginning at verse 4. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies, and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him and afflict him." Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. That's important. We'll give you then 1,100 pieces of silver, each of us. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you." Skip down to verse 15. Then she said to him, speaking again of Delilah, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is." It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. The brother was irritated. My God. So he told her all that was in his heart. Sisters, you all have that effect on us. And said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I have been," here it is, "a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. For a few moments, I want us to consider the thought, being persuaded by counterfeit love. Fake love. Imitation love. Not real love. Knockoff love. Being persuaded by counterfeit love. So won't you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, we thank you for the depth of wisdom with which you speak to your people. God, we thank you for the thought-provoking challenge that you give to us each day. God, we thank you for the word that is power to our lives, that is breath to our spirits, oh God, and that uplifts us and gives us strength for the journey, God. But we thank you for also showing those people who mean us no good. We thank you, Father, for showing us the counterfeit that we might recognize the real. Now express yourself to us, expose to us the word, that we might live by it, heed to it, and that you might be pleased and honored with what we do and say. Thank you, Father, for this time of sharing and this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's children say, amen. Being persuaded by counterfeit love. It was a NASCAR driver who won a very big race. And Not only did he get a big cash prize, but he also got a really nice Rolex. They gave him a nice Rolex, and this gentleman was so excited to get this Rolex. I mean, he was showing, forget the money, he was showing the Rolex to everybody. He was so excited because he always wanted a Rolex watch. When he put the Rolex on his arm, he found that it was too large, and so he took it to the Rolex shop, and he wanted to do what most people would do if a watch is too large. He wanted to get some links taken out of it. So they fitted him with the new size of the Rolex watch, the correct size, and he gave it to the jeweler. She adjusted it and altered it for him. And then she gave it back to him and said, well, that'll be $8, please. He said, $8? Wow, that's cheap. She said, well, if it was a real Rolex, it would be more. This man was so excited to get this Rolex. It looked real. It felt real as it could feel. It had the appearance of realism. It looked like a Rolex, but it was counterfeit. It was a cheap imitation that gave the impression of reality. And oftentimes, that is how love for some people can be. It can be counterfeit. It feels almost right. They say the right things, even do the right thing sometimes. It makes you feel a certain way. But across the spectrum, whether in a marriage, whether in a dating relationship, or in a friendship, oftentimes we find ourselves attached to love that is not real. And that is the situation that Samson finds himself in. He has become a victim of counterfeit love. He's become a victim of knockoff affection. Oh my, it's gonna be tough in here. Let me come down here. It's gonna be tough in here today. They didn't bring my steps in today, y'all. That's all right. I still love them. He has become a victim of counterfeit love. A few things we need to observe about this particular text. First, it's taking place in the time of the judges. The people had gone into the promised land. Joshua, after the succession of Moses, he had taken the people into the land of Canaan. The generation after Moses' generation had now died off, and Joshua is now deceased. And there has not been a passing down of tradition from Joshua's generation to the next generation. And so because there was not a passing down of tradition, now those who are Israelites are worshiping idols. And now they are idol worshipers, and now they have fallen away from God. They have now begun to adhere to practices that God never intended them to begin to adhere to. And so because of that, God allows enemies to rise up against them, the Israelites, that is. And in order to bring them back to himself, the Israelites must repent. And so through the book of Judges, what you see is the Israelites falling away from God, they repenting, God sending a deliverer, and then they coming back into the fold of God, and then them falling off again. There's something wrong when there's a succession of sin that's not dealt with in the beginning. And sin continues to go on, and we ask God to forgive. God sends the message, we feel good about it, and then we fall back. And so Samson is a judge that God raises up when he wants to deliver his people from the hand of the Philistines. Now, it's a few things we need to observe about Samson's life. First of all, Samson has been given a supernatural power from the Lord. That is his gift. The brother is strong. The brother can bench press 5,000 pounds with the palm of his hand, no sweat attached. The brother is strong. Not only that, Samson is also a Nazarite, meaning that even before Samson was born, his mother gave him back to God. And in order for his barren mother to give birth, God sends a word through the angel of the Lord that he is supposed to be a Nazarite from his birth. You cannot therefore drink any wine, my Lord. You therefore cannot shave your head. And even in some theological understandings about being a Nazirite, you couldn't approach certain dead bodies. And so Samson was to be a Nazirite. In other words, he was consecrated for God. He was set apart from the rest of the world. So not only does he have supernatural power from God, but he's also a Nazirite. The third observation we can observe about Samson is the fact that he made decisions about love with his eyes rather than his spirit. Oh. In other words, he made decisions based on what he saw, and if it appealed to his eyes, then Samson said, oh, I gotta have that. I don't care if it's bad for me. I don't care if it's not any good for me. If it's appealing to my eyes, I gotta have it. Samson made decisions based on what he saw rather than how he discerned things in his spirit. And I don't have to tell us how we can fall into temptation and how we can end up experiencing a horrible life when all we do is base our judgments on love based on what we can see rather than what we discern. For there are some people in my life, in your life, in our lives that we know we don't need to have in our lives. And the reason they're in our lives today is for the sheer fact that we saw them. It was appealing to us, not spiritually discerned. And now we're in a mess of counterfeit love. Can I talk about it? So we observe that about Samson. Now we come to chapter 16 in the book of Judges, and Samson has now encountered a beautiful woman, again the eyes, a beautiful woman named Delilah. She is from the valley of Sorek. Delilah is a beautiful woman, and she has an encounter with the lords of the Philistines, and she is given her task. The lords of the Philistines tell Delilah, since you and Samson are like this now, since you've got his attention, since you've got him caught in your trap of beauty, now what I want you to do is to entice him. Entice him, watch this, so that he will expose to you the source of his great strength. Now we know the brother's strong. There's no doubt about that. He's already killed thousands of us. But what we need you to do, we need you to expose the source of his strength. Because if you cut off the source of his strength, then you can deal with the strength. Entice him, therefore, so that we can find the source of his strength. In return, we will now give you, each of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Let me tell you what that means in our day. Sister, we're going to hook you up. We're going to make you richer than you've ever been. We're going to make you dress in the finest clothing you've never dressed in before. You are going to be a rich sister. But we got to get you to entice him. Let me tell you something about counterfeit love. Counterfeit love always has something to gain from the individual that they're attached to. Counterfeit love always seeks to gain something more than what it's willing to put in. Entice him so that we can find the source of his strength. The first thing we need to understand about this entire pericope is the simple fact that the enemy wanted to take away Samson's strength. The enemy wanted to take away, in essence, Samson's consecration. For it was the consecration that provided his strength. It was his ability to live as a Nazirite that provided the source of his strength. It was his ability to adhere to the knowledge and the understanding of God that gave him his strength. It was not him going to the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week and working out. It wasn't him getting on a treadmill working out 3, 4, 5 times a week. It wasn't his thinking that gave him his great strength. It was God that gave him his great strength. And what the enemy wanted to do through Delilah is to get the source of his great strength. Let me tell you what the enemy wants to do in your life by putting you in line or in contact with people who show you counterfeit love. The enemy wants to strip away the source of your strength. He wants to take away the source that allows you to pray more. He wants to take away the source that allows you to fast more. He wants to take away the source that allows you to turn your head to a negative conversation instead of going and cussing somebody out that you really want to go off on. He wants to take away the source of your strength.
What makes you strong is your set apartness from God. What makes you strong is your sanctification from God, or in God and through God. She first wanted to entice him so that they might find the source of his strength. The enemy will allow you, or will put you in situations with people who only want to gain things from you because they want what you have. And when they get what you have, then look out, because they're going 100 the other way. Because the reason that they're with you is not because they really love you, but it's because they have something to gain. And Delilah had something to gain. Perhaps the sister didn't have a lot of money. And so you throw a sweet deal like 1,100 pieces of silver from each of us. You throw that sweet deal out there, and I'll have to do what I gotta do. I don't care if I have to step on Samson myself. I don't care if I have to lie, cheat, steal, do what I gotta do. But because I want something from the deal, I'll do whatever it takes. Counterfeit love first says, I want something out of it, but the enemy wants to take away the source of your power. Secondly, we understand that as they begin to develop this relationship, now they're in conversation, now they're intimate with one another, now he begins to have a level of trust for her, she begins to have a level of trust for him, and now the appeal comes. Baby, tell me the source of your strength. Why are you so strong? Why are you able to kill all of these people with the jawbone of a donkey? Why are you able to do all of this stuff by the might of your hand? Baby, tell me the source of your strength. And the Bible says that three specific times, Samson gives her a riddle, and he gives her an answer that is not the truth. But I want to suggest to you the second thing about this pericope is that Samson ignored the signs of counterfeit. Because you do know that if you are engaged with someone in a relationship, friendship, in a marriage, and they are not showing you the kind of love that God would have them to show you, that there will be signs of it. And there will be recognizable signs of it. And she says to him in verse 15, how can you tell me that you love me? And three specific times, you did not tell me the source of your strength. Baby, you're making me look like a fool. So how can you say that you love me and you didn't give me what I asked for? Love becomes counterfeit when it becomes conditional. Oh, don't miss that. Love becomes counterfeit when it becomes conditional. When in a relationship with your spouse, with your whoever you're dating, or in your friendships, when they begin to say the word if you love me, then you'll do X, Y, and Z, that's when you know love is either on its way to being counterfeit or love is already counterfeit. Because love then becomes conditional. And if you can't love me for who God has made me, if you can't love me for who God has called me to be, if you can't love me for what I'm already doing, I'm already breaking my bank for you, I'm already going out of my way for you, I'm already sacrificing my life for you, if you can't love me, then how in the world can you say you want to be with me? I wish I had a witness today who knows that the ifs of life, and you've experienced some ifs in relationship, baby, if you do this for me, then I know you love me. If you just cheat on your husband, then I'll really know you're serious about what we have. If you just take one hit, then I'll know that you really care about this friendship. You know, if you just ride down the road with me and we handle our business, then will I know that you are my true partner, you're my true friend. If. But Christ's love leads with, because, and in spite. Because I love you. I know you're going to fall away. I know you're going to fall by the wayside. I know you're going to sin. I know you're going to have iniquity. But because I love you, I'm not going to put condition on my love, because my love is real. In fact, greater love has none than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. And watch this, in spite of what you do, in spite of how far you go left, in spite of the direction that you take, I still love you. Because my love, watch this, is not based on condition. It's unconditional. Samson failed 3 times to recognize the signs of counterfeit love. And they were apparent. As he tells her that, yeah, if they bind me with these fresh ropes, then I shall lose my strength. And she says, well, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He goes out and he defeats them. Well, if they bind me with this type of rope, then I will lose my strength. The Philistines come and he goes and defeats them again. If they do this, if they tie the lots up in my hair, then will I lose my strength. The Philistines come again, 1, 2, 3 times. And he still stays in. Let me ask you this. How caught up are you in the counterfeit? Have you gotten so caught up in the counterfeit that you can no longer recognize the real? Because the counterfeit is often a cheap knockoff to what the real can be. Because the counterfeit often doesn't cost very much, but the real costs a lot. And if you get caught up in the counterfeit and you begin to see the counterfeit as real, what you'll then begin to do is lose more of yourself. Because what then happens is that Samson himself becomes the sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Samson himself becomes the sacrifice. The Bible says that she began to nag him in a way that drove him crazy. Now, I don't have time to deal with that part, but she finally got him to a place where he told her a secret that he had never told anybody his entire life. He had never expressed the source of his strength. He had never told the extent to which he was able to gain strength because he understood his consecration. But I want to suggest to you, friends, that Samson got so caught up in the counterfeit that he lost a part of himself. And whenever you get caught so far in the counterfeit and you begin to lose more of yourself, you're willing to do anything that anybody asks of you. You're willing to go through any lengths and any depths to do whatever they ask of you, because now, above God, they have become the very person that you trust. They have become the source of your strength. They have become the person who you feel is separating or is consecrating you to God. They become the source of your strength. And the Bible says that Samson finally told it all. If you put a razor to my head, the reason, baby, that I have this long hair that you like so much, the reason that I have this long hair is before I was born, my mother consecrated me to the Lord. And I know I've had faults. I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned, but I have stayed faithful to my commitment to God as a Nazarite. And no razor has ever touched my head. But if you put a razor on my head, then will I lose my strength and become just like any other ordinary man. Now, we have to understand something then. Watch this about Samson's hair. The Bible says that his hair was braided into 7 locks. In the Bible, the number 7 is the number of completion.
Genesis chapter 1 through 3. The Bible says that God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, it was complete. We understand biblically that seven is the number of completion. As long as Samson had the seven locks on his head, he was completely consecrated and sacrificed to God. But as soon as he exposed the depth of his strength and the source of his strength, the Bible says Delilah made him go to sleep on her knees. Made him rest on her knees, and she invited a man in to shave off his locks. And so I'm imagining as he's asleep on her knees, and the gentleman, the Philistine, comes in and begins to shave off his lock. Lock number one, a little bit of strength gone. Lock number two, a little bit of strength gone. Lock number three, a little bit of strength gone. Four, five, six, and seven, a little bit of strength gone. All of a sudden, Samson has gone from being completely ingrained and engulfed in the will of God to now being incomplete. Counterfeit love, when you do not recognize its effect, will make you incomplete. Seven locks, completeness, no hair, incomplete. And when Delilah says, Samson, wake up, the Philistines are now upon you. The Bible says, he says that I'm going to go out, I'll go out like any other time and defeat the Philistines. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And it's a travesty whenever we allow people into our lives, whether it's a marriage, relationship, or friendship, to make us incomplete. Because they have finally taken out of you that which they only sought to get from you. And now Delilah is a rich sister. The Bible says that they came in with the money and gave her what she wanted. It was interesting to me that before he even went out of the room, it said that Delilah even tormented him. Now, I know you've already set me up for failure, but to give me more anger and hate on top of what you already done to me. So kick me while I'm down. Knock me out while I'm already on the ground. Take away my strength. Take away my love. Take away my consecration. Make me incomplete. Make me do what you want me to do. Give me counterfeit love. But while I'm down on the ground, why don't you kick me? The Bible says the Philistines came in, they cut his hair, they found the source of his strength, and now he's a slave. What is it about counterfeit love that makes you be a slave? And are you now so caught up in the counterfeit that you can't recognize the real? That now you've given so much of yourself and you've told the extent of your relationship with Christ to somebody else. And now they've gotten out of you all they need to get out of you so that they can get what they wanted to benefit them. And now you're left a slave. A slave to what? Perhaps a slave to low self-esteem. Perhaps a slave to abuse, perhaps a slave to insecurity, perhaps a slave to broken relationships, perhaps a slave to trust issues, perhaps a slave, because the counterfeit love caught you up, and the counterfeit love looked so real that you ended up losing yourself. And when you lose a part of yourself, it's very difficult to gain that self back. But I've come to encourage you with some good news today. Oh, yeah. They may have gouged out my eyes, Samson. They may have cut off my hair. They may have did me wrong. My girl Delilah may have abused me and ratted me out for a little bit of money. They may have set me up for the failure. I may feel like I'm defeated. I may feel like I'm not winning the battle. But the Bible says that even as Samson now was blinded and he's in captivity in the Philistine camp, that God allowed his hair to begin to grow back. Let me tell you something about God. God may see that you're knocked down. God may see that you're out. God may see that you're not winning the race. God may see that you've not adhered to his laws and that you've given more of yourself to the effects of counterfeit love. But let me tell you something about God. We do not serve a high priest who is unable to identify with our pain. We serve a high priest who is angelic in the heavens and who knows every single thing that we feel. We serve a God, here it is, of grace. And Samson, though he was slain, though Samson lost his hair, though Samson lost his position, Samson was able to accomplish the task that God had for him because Samson then was operating in grace. Oh my God. Let me tell you what grace will do for you. Let me tell you in the face of counterfeit love what grace will do. Let me tell you how grace will rise you up even though you may have succumbed to the counterfeit. Even though you may feel bad because of the counterfeit. Even though you may be bruised and abused because of the counterfeit. God says, I will allow you even in the midst of your failure. Even in the midst of people using you and abusing you and neglecting you. I will still allow you to experience my grace so that you can still grow from it. Samson, watch this. Samson's hair began to grow back. And Samson pleaded with God, Lord, one more time. God, I know that I did what was wrong in your sight. God, I know you told me to have better discernment about the folks that I'm around. God, I know you told me not to hang around these crazy folk anyway, because they already showed me 3 times, not once, not twice, but 3 times that they were counterfeit lovers of me. God, they were only in the relationship for themselves. But God, it looked so good. It felt so good. It appeared so good. God, it was everything that I thought love was supposed to be. And God, now I'm in the gutter, but Lord, one more time. God, please, one more time. One more time. God, remember your servant. Remember my toil. Remember my struggle. God, remember me one more time. God, I know I messed up, but remember me one more time. And the Bible says that Samson went into the temple of Dagon because now, oh, watch this. Now they have began to mock Samson. The people that wanted what was his began to mock Samson. It's something about when people think you're down. Woo! It's something about when people think you're out. Come on. I don't know what it does. I don't know where it comes. Yes, I do. It's Holy Spirit. I know where it comes from. But something on the inside, someone on the inside says you can't stay down your whole life. You can't succumb to this counterfeit mess your whole life. Maybe you can't stay on your knees as if you lost the fight your whole life. And the Holy Spirit picked Samson back up. And Samson said, God, one more time, God, one more time. Let me complete your will. Let me do what you called me to do. The Bible says that Samson got in between the two pillars, and with all of his might, the might that God gave him, he pushed those things down. And the Bible says that he completed his task and killed more Philistines in that temple than he did his entire life. Oh my God. Oh my God. So then, I'm just talking to you. So then, what then would that look like in a contemporary context?
Help us.
What then would that look like for me and you? We're not Samson, we're not Delilah, but what would that look like for me and you? I want to take you back to one of my old favorite movies. Probably one of your old favorite movies. The Color Purple. Oh yeah. Young folks, I don't know if y'all seen The Color Purple, but go watch it. Because The Color Purple has a picture of counterfeit love. But it has a picture of what grace can do even in the midst of counterfeit love. You have Celie, who's been given to Mr. Brother Albert, for sure. And Celie has been given to Albert. But Albert's main concern and main goal is to get Shook Avery. Shook. Albert wants to get Shook. Albert will use Celie to do whatever he needs Celie to do in order to make sure he's presented like a good man. In order to make sure he's presented like somebody who can take care of a good woman. So that out of the relationship, he can get to Shook Avery. So in order to get out of the relationship, so he can get to Shook Avery, what he does to Celie is he begins to beat on Celie. He begins to talk about Celie. He begins to batter Celie. And the triangulation of this relationship is Celie is being used, Samson. Albert wants to get something out of Celie, Delilah, and then you have Shook Avery, who's going to be the beneficiary of all of this. And so what happens is, Celie begins, even in the midst of the abuse, she begins to see herself in the mirror. And she smiles for once. And she says, you know what? I actually have a pretty nice smile. Shook Avery begins to affirm her a little bit more. And she begins to get a little more confidence, a little more esteem about herself. And all of a sudden, she tries to escape the counterfeit love one time. Albert goes and gets her. He beats her, brings her back to the house. Maybe her spirits felt like they were broken. Maybe she didn't feel like she couldn't do it again. But later on in the movie, as they're reclining at the dinner table, Celie has built up enough strength. She's built up enough tenacity. And she says, you can abuse me all you want. You can show me that your love is counterfeit. You can show me you don't have any good for me in mind. But baby, watch this. Everything that was done to me. Woo! Everything that was done to me has already been done to you. And yeah, you showed me counterfeit love. You showed me that I'm not worth it. You showed me that I'm ugly. But as Celie gets in the back of that truck, Celie steps up. Albert tries to come and get her. Celie turns around and she says, yeah, I may be black. I may be ugly. I may be poor. But dear God, I am still here. Dear God, your counterfeit love did not kill me. Your counterfeit love did not take me out. Your counterfeit love did not destroy me, because grace is still sufficient. Oh my God. Grace is still sufficient. Your locks will grow back. You will get up from the tarnish. You will get up from being torn. You will get up from being abused. God will help you. And sometimes when you succumb to counterfeit love, yeah, baby, you're gonna have to go through some things. You're gonna have to deal with some stuff. But I tell you what, God's grace is still sufficient, and you can still grow. Oh my God. Everybody standing all over the building.
Well, friend, I hope the word encouraged your heart today to look beyond counterfeit love and to seek out those individuals through discernment by the power of the Holy Spirit who will bring you joy, peace, and new life. God calls us to pursue real love. Don't get caught on the counterfeit. Recognize the real. Hope you have a great week. And as always, stay the course.
We invite you to visit our website at www.kevinmuriel.com to get other ministry resources and to continue to get encouragement for your journey. Friend, until next time, God bless you.